Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of CDH Conversations. My name is Brigitte Mangel, and I'm a director in CDH's pro bono and human rights practice, where my work primarily focuses on advancing women's rights and strengthening access to justice. We produced this episode in March, which is a particularly meaningful month in the human rights calendar. On the 8th of March, we celebrated International Women's Day, and here in South Africa, on the 21st of March, we'll celebrate Human Rights Day. And both of these days are opportunities for us to not only reflect, but also to take action. International Women's Day had two themes. The first was Give to Gain, and the second was Rights, Justice, Action for All Women and Girls. In South Africa, the Human Rights Day theme is the Bill of Rights at 30, Making Human Dignity Real. Now, these themes remind us of the importance of moving from reflection to active participation, to giving of our time, our capacity, our advocacy, and our leadership, all so that equality moves from just being an aspiration to something that becomes a lived reality. In the South African context, these conversations carry particular weight. Our history has taught us that human rights have always been advanced through collective courage and action. From the 1956 Women's March to the 1960 Sharpeville Massacre, to ongoing efforts today to combat gender-based violence and inequality. Today, we turn to two incredible women who are leading the charge through their work at Justice Desk Africa, an award-winning international human rights organization that empowers everyday people to become human rights defenders in their own communities. I'm joined by Diana Akupari, Deputy CEO of Justice Desk Africa, who will speak to us about the broader vision and strategic direction, and also Clarice Lowe, Programs Manager, who works with communities on the ground driving impact. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Diana, my first question to get us started is to you. We know that Justice Desk works across several countries. And so when the organization was established in 2013, what gap in the human rights ecosystem was it trying to fill? And how has that vision evolved over time?
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for having this platform for us to speak a little bit more, especially in this month of Human Rights Month. So as you know, Justice Desk Africa was formed in 2013 to essentially address the gap in human rights and people understanding what their rights are. Human rights for a long time, for a lot of people, believe that human rights lives within the Constitution, within policy frameworks and so forth. But Justice Desk Africa said, no, hold on. Human rights should be rooted within the communities, within the local context in which these happen. I think when we think about Africa, a lot of the times people, the automatic assumption is to think that we do not have frameworks for rights. But actually we do have, if we look at South Africa, we have some of the strongest constitutions in the world. And so the gap has really come in with people understanding, being aware of their right, having access and feeling empowered. So Justice Desk Africa came about as a way for grassroots level activism and education so that people can understand, be aware of their rights and to feel empowered to go forward and realize those rights. And so our work has been able to span across 9 different countries on the continent.
That's incredible.
Right. And we're in various regions. So within Southern Africa, places like Zambia and Zimbabwe and South Africa, East Africa, Kenya, which I believe you've got quite a large audience around there. And then we also operating in some spaces across West Africa, such as Ghana and Sierra Leone. And so our programs really and our work really works to empower everyday people to become everyday activists within their own communities, because they are the ones who understand their local context and will be able to identify the things that need to be addressed and the challenges that they're facing. So I think over time, with our initial need to bring human right education to the people, it has evolved for us to really think about how we can have programs that are more sustainable. So building more sustainable ecosystems for human rights leadership, for the communities, and just equipping different folks to realize this.
Incredible. You said you work across 9 different African countries. Okay, so working across all of these different countries, what lessons have emerged slowly over time and how has that informed and shaped the continental strategy?
Right. So I think the biggest lesson working in these different parts of Africa has been understanding that human rights really needs to be rooted in the local community and the local context. We have this universal declaration of dignity, human rights and everything, but when you really hone in and zoom into different communities, that's when you see that, yes, we preach this and yes, we adopt it, but the needs are really, really shaped by what a community is faced by. And so with that, our work has really been driven by communities first. And so whenever we go into a space, it's always, we have to listen. Listen to understand, make sure that we know what exactly are the issues coming directly from the people that are living this every day. And so that was one of the biggest lessons. And then also one of the biggest lessons that we've learned as we've been operating and delivering our programs is the power of the youth and the power of the voices of the youth leadership. And so I think Clarice might touch a little bit more about it, but we've seen incredible things where young people are actually speaking up and are actually the ones that are raising their voices and bringing awareness, whether it is designing and delivering different campaigns. And again, going back to context and context that matters. Yes, we talk about this universal rights of dignity and Ubuntu and everything, but a need of one community might look very different from another community. So in one local context, it might be a focus around women's rights, women's empowerment, but in another context, it might be, you know, having access and, you know, understanding justice and understanding the constitution and so forth. And so those has been some of our biggest lessons. And then just making sure that we're going in, working with different folks, different stakeholders, whether it's young people, community leaders, teachers, educating them on human rights, education, and advocacy.
It's amazing. What's that saying? Nothing about us without us. You guys are really living that principle and executing on that principle.
Right.
So we're producing this under the themes of International Women's Day and Human Rights Day. And so I mentioned at the beginning that one of the International Women's Day themes is rights, justice, and action. So where do you see the most urgent opportunities and maybe even challenges for advancing women's rights across the regions?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think we're all very aware of the real challenges that women and young girls face across the continent, simply because of our cultures and traditions and where we come from. Women are told to be a specific way and behave in a specific way. We know that gender-based violence and femicide is a big issue. But I also think that we're right now in a space where there's real opportunity for women and for young girls. And so when we talk about opportunities and where that lies, I think some of the strongest areas would be, you know, women taking up spaces, whether it is within leadership spaces, in government, civic societies, in the law, judicial systems as well. And so, yes, there are lots and lots of challenges that we face as women and girls, but there's also been a really incredible rise of women that are growing up and taking up spaces and speaking up. And I think there's also been a shift from, you know, women or folks not necessarily understanding or just being in defense mode about, you know, their rights. But now that shift is going towards more empowerment, understanding what their rights are and knowing that they can actually stand up, advocate and be those voices for their communities. And so that is what's been happening, and that's the hope. And I think that's what Justice Desk, what we do in our programs, in some of our programs, like the Mbokoro program, teaching young girls to, you know, empowering them so that they know and they can speak up, not just around GBV, but whatever situation it is that their communities are facing.
So if we keep those challenges and opportunities in mind, won't you tell us what Justice Desk has planned over the rest of 2026 beyond South African borders? And if you could also share some thoughts on what impact you hope that will make and how perhaps our viewers can get involved and show their support.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, we're currently in 9 countries across the continent. Our priorities and our focus is essentially strengthening our programs across the different regions, but we're also really looking at how we can expand. Eventually, we would love justice to be a Justice Desk African every corner of the continent, which we're working on. But essentially strengthening program and scaling those is really important. Particularly really excited about collaborating and partnering more within Kenya and Namibia as well, which I know you've got quite a large audience in those areas. And then also just strengthening youth leadership programs as well as human rights education initiatives across the continent. And so a lot of cross-cultural leadership programs that we're looking at, and then also just making sure that the work that we're doing is locally rooted in local context, is community driven across the continent. I think for impact, I mean, human rights work and this kind of works, we are able to thrive when we have good collaboration and partners. And so I think the space right now for the human rights space and funding has not been really friendly. And so we call on various people in different sectors, whether it's legal entities or whether it is within strategic partnerships that can help us to really look at our programs and our impact and look at different ways that we can actually realize these goals. And so we're always open to collaborations and we're always looking for more partnerships across the country and the region.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know our viewers would have taken all of that on and in with keen interest. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Clarice, so Diana shared a little bit about the strategic vision. But we know visions come to life on the ground through implementation and action. Could we hear from you more about the South African programs, what impact you hope they will have, and how they hope to empower individuals to become human rights defenders?
Okay, thank you for that, Brigitte. So within Justice East Africa, we have three flagship programs. So starting with our Youth Ambassador Program. So this is where we teach young, like, leaders. We equip them to become advocates within the communities, within the schools. Eventually, we want all of the work we do in our Youth Ambassador Program to be youth-led. So focusing on the youth to transform the minds of their peers and running campaigns, your anti-bullying campaigns. We do training and education on human rights, recognizing the human rights, recognizing when the human rights are being abused as well or violated, and also focusing on GBV and child protection as well. So this is, we want them, as I said, to become advocates within the communities and within the schools as well. And then we focus on the Mbukodo program, which is your girls program. So Mbukodo means rock. So there's a famous quote that say, when you strike a woman, you strike a rock.
Yep.
So our Mbukodo, the word or the program comes from there. So yeah, within the program for our Mbukodo program, we're focusing on young girls. So from, you know, teaching them self and leadership, then going, so it's four levels we equip them with. It's a 4-year program as well. And then, you know, teaching them the human rights to become human rights defenders. And at the end of the program, being change makers within their communities. There's also a saying that say, pay it forward. So our change makers pay it forward and recognizing that their voice matters and recognizing early signs of abuse, early signs of when abuse take place, invisible and invisible forms. And then we have our Nsika Yetemba program. This is our boys program. So here we focus on addressing toxic masculinity. And also challenging just harmful norms that society, like societal pressures that's put on our young boys, and also breaking generational cycles of abuse and realizing that it's okay for you as a young boy to speak up. So these are our three flagship programs that we focus on. So just in general, our three programs, summarizing it, focus on becoming human rights defenders, focusing on being advocates for gender-based violence and protection of your own rights and recognizing your own human rights.
What incredible programs that are building strong future leaders. What age ranges are those programs open to?
So our age ranges is our youth, right? Because we are, as I said, working in schools and working in communities. We also try to like shape it from like going from schools into your youth, which is your local NGOs as well, and giving GBV training. So we're looking at your youth age, and normally within our programs that I mentioned, the school going age, so 14 to 18. Yes.
Incredible. Thank you, Clarice. So the unfortunate reality in the South African context is that many of our human rights challenges are faced by women and girls. How are the South African programs intentionally designed to address gender inequality and support female leadership?
Okay, so the challenges we face is definitely still the lack of education, the stigma when it comes to abuse, and also, I think I touched a bit on it earlier, generational cycles of abuse. So when it comes to the lack of education and awareness is that people don't always realize, our youth don't realize when their rights are being abused. So we're trying to engage not only by educating, just going out and educating, but engaging on a community level and taking in from the community to drive our change and drive our programs. And also to make it language appropriate, to create that space for young women, for our boys to speak out. So to bridge that gap, because obviously there's a gap between your legal frameworks and your policies. You get, for instance, like your Constitution of South Africa, your Domestic Violence Act, your Sexual Offences Act, that protects our young girls, our men. But now you're coming to the on-ground practice. And you know, sometimes when young ladies go through court cases, these court cases can take very long as well. So for us, it's not about approaching like, you know, your legal frameworks. So how we approach our programs is that we create a safe space for the young girls, for our boys to actually recognize they have a voice. So before, you know, going the legal processes of something actually happened with you and you did not perhaps speak out about that, how do we create that peer support between us? How do we provide that psychosocial support for you actually to speak out and have a voice? And then we move from there, what legal frameworks is involved when it comes to speaking out. So that is how we address that cultural and the social barriers that is there and to bridge the gap within our programs.
And if I may add on to that, what she shared is, you know, we have the slogan at Justice Desk Africa, which talks about the power of everyday activism.
Yeah.
And so that is really embedded in our culture and in the works and the programs that we deliver. And so we really believe that everyone has a role to play, no matter how small. So it can be something as small as, you know, speaking to your neighbor and telling them about their rights. And so we've seen incredible things when, you know, we've seen girls come into the program who are scared, they have never spoken a word. And then by the time they go through the program, you know, they are defenders, they are speaking up, they are mobilizing different people, they feel empowered to actually go out. And they understand that, you know, I don't have to do the biggest thing. I don't need to be in parliament. I don't need to do all of these things, but we all have a voice. We all have the ability to do something, yes, and to contribute, yes, in a meaningful way. And so, and that is the power of everyday activism.
Yes.
It's so important what you both have just said, because we have to, as a society, move towards normalizing empowerment,
yes,
and normalizing,
yes,
speaking up. There,
yes,
are so many challenges and struggles that we've become desensitized to because they're so normal. We have to work just as hard to make the action normal in everyday conversations, over a lunch table, at a braai, not just in, as you were saying, court settings, but through everyday engagement. So, Clarice, we know that the South African Human Rights Day theme is making human dignity real. And you touched on these points a little bit in your previous answer, but I want us to just go back to unpacking some of the biggest challenges you encounter when trying to realize human rights in implementing programs across different social and cultural contexts. And how does your team adapt to that?
Okay. So, yeah, as you mentioned, Brigitte, I did touch a bit on it. So making human dignity real, like you said, yeah, that's a powerful like term to say, because as I said, to make, coming back to that human dignity real, is that also you have to start by educating them. So when we come there, for instance, one question we'll ask is that, do you know how many human rights you have? So a small question like that, and realizing that our youth doesn't even know like how many human rights they have, and learning about the human rights for the first time when they come into our program. So how we try to address it is to address it by recognizing your human rights and also addressing them like the leadership skills they also have, and overcoming the cultural norms, because within our communities, we also have this about maybe keeping the peace.
Yeah.
So now it's a social stigma. There's a lot of social stigma attached, which we realize, and previous patterns, as I mentioned, of abuse and generational cycles of abuse, not only by young girls or a woman, but by men as well. Hence, I mentioned the two programs that we have that focus both like separately on men and our young girls. So yes, so how we actually let it happen and come to light is that community engagement is so important. Community engagement starting there and hearing back from the community. And also the fact that we're having our youth ambassador program where we go out and we do training and education. However, we want those youth to pay it forward. So we train 30 people, but now your responsibility is to go out and train 500 people and hear about how you engage within your school and how you actually reach those peers to recognize the human rights as well and become human rights defenders. Also, we use our social media platforms to address this as well. So when we do have campaigns, obviously with the consent of parents, we have these campaigns that go out and we reach abroad, like social media reach as well. And this is particular also within our youth ambassador program. So that is how we try to address that and overcome that in making human dignity real.
Yes. Clarice, in closing, we heard from Diana about some of the 2026 programs beyond South African borders. Won't you tell us what initiatives and projects our South African community can look forward to over the rest of 2026? What impact do you hope it will make, and how can we perhaps get involved and show support?
So like Diana mentioned, we definitely want to broaden our reach and really scaling our programs. So we definitely looking forward. We're always open to collaboration and seeing how we can take hands with government partnerships, NGOs, local NGOs to strengthen our programs as well. What we're looking forward to 2026 going forward is also to reach more, obviously strengthen our partnerships and to reach a broader network. For instance, we do have empowerment sessions, so we would love stakeholders to get involved with our empowerment sessions. So for instance, within our two programs, I mentioned our girls and our boys program, we have 20 empowerment sessions, which is 10 outdoors, 10 indoors. So if we can partner with our local NGOs, with even the private sector and so forth, we would love to strengthen our programs and see what we can offer more to our participants. So that will be amazing to see, you know, how we can strengthen these partnerships within the community.
Brilliant.
And just to add a little bit of well, we run a lot of advocacy campaigns and programs. A lot of them are youth-led. And so throughout the year, the young folks within the program organize marches and protests. So whether we are marching to the MEC of Transport to address issues on transportation or, you know, whoever it may be, whether it's issues on GBV, we always hold those throughout the year. And so do check our social medias. Whenever those are coming up, we do have that information. And I think what has been so important with what Clarice has highlighted is that we can't do this work on our own, and that, you know, in order for this work to be successful, we need to be collaborative with the different stakeholders. So whether it's the private sector, whether it's other local NGOs or legal entities such as yourselves, we're always open to collaborations and to expand our reach.
Ladies, thank you so much for helping us end on such a positive and inspiring note.
Yeah.
And really, most importantly, for the incredible work that you're doing through Justice Desk Africa across so many African countries.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
As we commemorate International Women's Day and South African Human Rights Day, today's conversation has shone a spotlight on some fundamentals. Human rights are not abstract ideals. They are lived experiences that are shaped by communities, leaders, and everyday people choosing to act. The themes of these two important days challenge us to move merely from reflection to active participation, to give in ways that allow equality, dignity, and justice to be fully gained. As Diana and Clarice have told us partnerships among legal institutions, the private sector, and civil society and community organizations are all incredibly important if we're going to build a society where human rights are not only legally recognized and protected, but lived in practice. Thank you for joining us, and we encourage you to learn more about the work of Justice Desk Africa, but also to learn more about how you can engage and support the human rights initiatives that are going on in your communities. Until next time, thank you and happy Human Rights Month.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.